I'm Dave Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with just our guest. Lauren is sick. Patty is in New Orleans. Josh is teaching today. I almost didn't make it because when I got out to my car, it is freezing outside. I got out to my car and my battery was dead. So I got out of the car just thinking, ugh. And I looked at my tires and I had a flat tire too. So I can't even drive my car to get my new battery. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I took a cab here. I have to say this for Yellow Cab. They got me here. It's at least a 20-minute drive. They got me here in 13 minutes flat. I love them. Thank you. Our guest today is Teresa Daniels. She is District 1 County Commissioner for Dallas County. And welcome, Teresa.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me to be here.
Yeah, and you know what? For some reason, why are you not picking up? Try this.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Let's pull that mic over. Yeah, that should be better.
Is that better?
Yeah, that is better. Good. And of course, my microphone, my headphones are in my car, and I didn't realize that until I was in the taxi, so I don't have headphones either. So we're just doing great today. And of course, the show before wasn't here, so I was doing that one too. So why not?
The games begin.
Yeah. Thank you for being here, Teresa.
Thank you for inviting me.
You know, we've known each other actually for years.
Uh-huh.
Your first website, political website, back in 2002 or 3 for
two.
Something.
Two.
I did
Statehouse.
That. Yeah, I did that. Jeff and I did that for you.
That's right.
I did. Yeah, so I've known you since then.
Uh-huh.
And this is your second term. You were just reelected. It's a 4-year term to the county commission.
Right.
I think most people don't know what the difference between the county government and the city government is. Or most people know the city, you know, paves the streets, picks up the garbage, is the police. But it's the county does something. And do you know, one thing I didn't know until recently also was that every county in Texas has 4 commissioners and 1 county judge. I didn't know that.
You're absolutely right. Texas has 254 counties. Mm-hmm. Each one is organized the same. There are 4 commissioners and 1 county judge. And in fact, in 2016, all of those in districts 1 and 3 were up for election. In 2018, 2 and 4 plus the county judge will be up for election.
Oh, and that's by state law too?
Yes.
Oh.
And so it's the same all across the state of Texas. In larger terms, overarching terms, county government is public health and public safety. Public health in Dallas County starts off with the healthcare engine, Parkland, but then it's also immunizations. All your kids need immunizations. It's West Nile. It's Ebola. It's Zika. It's a lot of different kinds of health and human service programs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the health portion, the clinics. Public safety is all of the court systems for the county and the district. In addition to the jail. And then we have the sheriff's department.
Mm-hmm.
We also run all the elections, collect taxes for most of the jurisdictions in Dallas County, plus do public works and have a great interest in trails and multimodal transportation in Dallas County.
So let's do one of the fun ones first.
Okay.
Trails. There's a bike trail that's going to go right here, right next to the station.
Yes.
And I'm real excited about that one because had I had enough time and if it wasn't 20 degrees out this morning, I could have just ridden my bike to KNON.
I am particularly excited about what we call the North Haven Trail because it is going to create more of the connector
mm-hmm.
of trails throughout Dallas County. But it's also where I call it the East meets the West
mm-hmm.
because District 1 ends right there. District 2 begins on the west side. District 1's on the east side.
Oh.
I am looking forward to
So you're
shaking.
Not in your district right now? You're just outside.
I'm just across the road.
Across the street. Okay.
Just across the street. But the plan is to meet Commissioner Mike Cantrell and shake hands where the East meets the West at North Haven.
Will that be the first time you've shaken hands with him?
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. No, no. Right now, there is a trail that goes under Central Expressway, which I find a little disconcerting to try to navigate. So we're at the point of having gotten all the right-of-way and have done the designs and are really working towards, hopefully within the not-too-distant future, of creating a bike and pedestrian trail that goes on top of Central Expressway.
So it's going to be a bridge, actually.
Yes, yes.
How will you get up there?
There will be
a spiral?
A spiral kind of on both sides of the road to get there.
Okay, so that'll be odd for bike riders, though. I guess you'll have to walk your way up.
We actually are very aware of what bikes do across the country and better ways of making those kinds of structures happen so that bikes can do it, people can do it.
Okay.
It'll also be aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah. Huh. The other bike trail is, the Katy Trail comes up, stops before Mockingbird. There used to be a train trestle that went over Central Expressway, and I'm talking 25 years ago before they started rebuilding. And the right-of-way from Central all the way to the White Rock Trail that goes around White Rock Lake, that the county already owns, right? Or city?
Well, we work together with our member cities. Mm-hmm. And so the city of Dallas and their Parks and Rec actually maintains the White Rock Trail and the Katy Trail. The county works together with them in order to help with the design, help with the cement parts of some of those trails. Mm. There is going to be, the connectors go, the SOPAC Trail is there. The Santa Fe Trail is there, and those are the connectors on the southern part between the Katy Trail and the White Rock Trail.
And the Santa Fe Trail goes all the way to the river, or no?
We're working on some of those pieces down there. There is also going to be a connector between the Audubon and the Arboretum.
Oh.
Which is
so all the way
miles.
The Audubon Center, which I love.
Right.
Is down on South Loop 12.
Right.
It is in a part of the county that nobody would dare go to. It's 10 minutes. I lived in Oak Cliff for 30 years. And people think, oh, my God, where is this thing? It's right on South Loop 12.
Exactly.
It's 10 minutes from downtown.
You go there one time, you go, this is easy.
The difference between getting there and getting...
offers.
Yeah, the difference between getting there and North Loop 12 is you don't have the traffic.
It's beautiful.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
fun. It offers a lot, and it's developing. So the spine will come from the Audubon up to the Arboretum. Mm-hmm. To the best of my knowledge, I think two of the five legs have already been sponsored.
Okay.
I'm looking forward because half of that goes through my district, which I'm looking as the front door into the southeastern part of the county in Pleasant Grove.
Ah, okay. So
a lot to look forward to.
It's going to kind of meander. Looking at the city, if Loop 12 makes this loop about 7 miles outside of downtown, and it's southeast of downtown, so
yes.
you take 45 or any of to South Loop 12 or 175, and it's right between 175 and 45.
Looking forward.
So how it's going to go up? It's going to meander through Pleasant Grove.
Right now, no. It's going to connect the Audubon with the Arboretum. But when you have the trail going through, that will be an opportunity then to branch off and go into southeast section.
Okay, so people can feed into
exactly.
it.
So exactly.
That, yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
And then going up to the Arboretum, so it'll go through Fair Park even. The trail.
It'll probably be
just outside.
It'll be east of
the park. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that. But getting back to the Katy Trail, connecting the Katy Trail in, again, we need a bridge over Central Expressway. And there was talk that that was funded, and then I hadn't heard anything about that. And it would be right next to Mockingbird Lane. We don't know. It's okay.
I'm sorry. I don't have any of my maps in front of me to explain that. Part of it, I think, is going a little bit south. And then we'll connect up with extensions of the Santa Fe. I am not sure. That's someone else's district is partly why I'm not so familiar with it. But it's but it's connecting a little bit south of that, where it doesn't have to go over Central Expressway. Is what I'm thinking, like more in the Baylor area.
Oh, okay, so it'll connect down there, and then there'll be another trail wandering up. Okay.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Well, good. So it seems like a trail is nothing more than a sidewalk. It's more than that, isn't it?
It's usually 11, 12 feet at least, and depending on how much leeway we have, we can make it a little bit wider so that bikes and pedestrians can be and runners can be accommodated rather than them fighting for the same space. And then oftentimes there are amenities along the way with
water fountains, benches.
Water fountains,
landscaping.
Landscaping. There's all kinds of options going on all around the county with, depending on where it is and using whatever natural landscaping is there.
And then also because a lot of these were former railroad tracks, some of them are elevated.
Yes.
So you have to have entrances to it, and
yes,
you have to get up to the trail.
Right.
Where it is elevated.
And working with neighborhood groups, working with friends of the whatever groups, using a lot of different kinds of resources because there is a lot of interest, first of all, in people being able to exercise and enhancing our neighborhoods with this type of these types of options. I recently visited New York City, and High Line is a perfect example of taking what could have been an awful eyesore.
Well, it was an eyesore.
And making it into a real opportunity. And that's exactly the concept that's going on here.
But you know where they got the idea from to do that?
Tell me.
Dallas. They came here and looked at the Katy Trail before they built the High Line.
Well, live and learn.
And I don't know if they got the idea entirely from Dallas, and they certainly wanted to do something with it. It wasn't, oh, Dallas did this, so we can too. Where can we put it? They had this eyesore and heard, well, Dallas did something with one of their old railroad beds.
And then it's also looking just to see people seeing opportunities at the spillway at the southern end of White Rock Lake, where a couple of different trails are coming together. One of the restaurant owners there took it upon himself to connect the trestle, which had been part of the trail, with his restaurant so that you can have a little bit of a respite, you know, get a snack while you're bicycling around Dallas County. So it's a lot of people coming together.
Perfect.
Which is what we do best.
You know, and it's funny because you don't think of those trails as being a big deal to do, and they really are. They're major projects. You have to acquire the land. You have to raise the money to do those because it's not the priority in commuting to work, although lots of people commute, especially on the Katy Trail.
It does take a lot of cooperation, and I think it does work better when there are the different entities working together, whether it's the county, the city, the businesses along the way, the neighborhood groups, the bicycling groups, the running groups, just a lot of people who have an interest, and then just people who want to see the Dallas County develop in fun, productive, progressive ways.
We need to take a break in about 2 minutes, but let's start talking a little bit about Parkland Hospital. Parkland, that most people picture in their minds, is, Parkland. The new Parkland Hospital is amazing. If you haven't been there,
Go visit.
It's one of the most technologically advanced hospitals in the country.
Well, the Parkland is, well, first of all, it is a county public hospital, so that it is a major portion of its funding comes from all of us. When they were looking at and had passed the bond to get the money for it, looked around the country, around the world for best practices on, first of all, how do you construct this kind of a building? How do you run this kind of a building? Where are there efficiencies that can be reached by putting departments next to each other that work together, that share supplies together? When they were building it, they were also looking at how can we do this in a better way. It broke down a lot of the very large contracts to allow smaller companies to bid on them, which allowed a greater diversity of people to be involved in the building of contracting for Parkland. Due to the fact that there are not new large public hospitals being constructed, Parkland is a jewel in the United States and visited from people around the world just to see how it is working, how it was made, what are the all of the innovations.
And we need to take a break. We're talking to Teresa Daniels. She is District 2 Commissioner. District 1. Why do I keep saying District 2? Because you're kind of in the middle. You don't start counting from the middle. But I know where it came from. It moved down from where it used to be. I'm just babbling today. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet. Everybody else has the day off. It's the easiest way to say it. We'll be back with more with Commissioner Daniel right after this.
I'm Michael Dominguez, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly, 89.3 KNON FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with just Teresa. Teresa Daniel is District 1. I'm writing that down. Patty, when she's here, makes fun of me because I'll write our own names down so that I can just look. Yes, my name is David Taffet. Well, now you're older than I am. When I saw you a week ago, we figured that out. By days, you're older than I am, so don't laugh at me because they call it my old age. District 1 Commissioner, County Commissioner Teresa Daniel, I think this is the first time we've had somebody from the County Commission on, ever, in 30 years.
Well, I'm so proud to be here.
Well, I'm so glad that you are here. Yeah. So we're just talking a little bit about what does the county do, what's coming up for the county. Some new stuff just this week at Parkland. You know, Parkland opened a year and a half ago, but they're still opening. A whole new building just opened.
That's right. This past week, the ribbon was cut on the Ron Anderson Clinic, which once again is augmenting the services, the healthcare services that Parkland can provide to Dallas County. Would also like to talk just a little bit that not only is the hospital per se a model of what can be done for healthcare, just healthcare in general, from conception to design to construction to the delivery of services, it is in the forefront in healthcare in the United States. Also, there are a couple of other things that are just milestones in healthcare delivery. There is a clinic in our Dallas County Jail that has 300 beds, 150 for physical health, 150 for mental health. Once again, used cutting edge, just commonsensical oftentimes, but just different ways of placing the services that are to be provided so that it's more efficient for the staff, the nursing staff who are providing care, and for the patients. In both the clinic and at the main hospital, the main Parkland Hospital, they have really looked at pharmaceuticals and have mechanized the selection from the whole process from the incoming of the selection of the medications, packaging and distribution, so that error rate is like 0.0.
Well, plus it's fast.
And it's fast, it's efficient. It allows patients to get their medications much more easily. And
I was picking somebody up from the old Parkland Hospital. They had to get some medications, and so they had to wait online 3 hours. It's just what you want to do. This is the old Parkland. Right. It's just what you want to do when you're just getting out of the hospital and no choice but to do that because they needed to get this medication that was expensive. It wasn't something that you could just, out of my pocket, I'll, pull $3,000 to pay for those medications. So I had to get it through Parkland. But this is all mechanized now.
And in separate locations, mm-hmm. so that you don't have to go through the same and stand in the same line with. You can go, have your order, get your prescription, and go pick it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, the efficiencies and just looking at keeping in mind what does the patient have to go through in order to complete their.
Designing the building, I took a tour before the building opened, and they showed some of the things that were on the wish list. To do better than they were doing in the old hospital. So in the old hospital, of course, when that building was built, you did not have care flight to deliver people from all over the place by helicopter land on the roof. So they made a makeshift helipad up there, and I'm saying makeshift, I mean it worked. But from where the helipad was, they had to run the person halfway across the roof to the elevator. The elevator was just a regular elevator that could stop along the way. It could take over 4 minutes from the time they landed to get to the emergency room. In the new Parkland, there's a dedicated elevator. They land right next to where the elevator is. 33 seconds, the person is in the middle of the trauma unit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, things like that save lives.
Exactly, and the care that is provided, mm-hmm. and that's in a larger setting of what healthcare in the United States is going through, what healthcare in Texas is going through. So that I, in fact, do spend quite a bit of time talking about it with legislators and with members of Congress, so that we can get the most efficient methods by which we can then provide services to all of Dallas County.
Now, this might be. I don't mean this as a gotcha question at all, and we hadn't prepared what we were going to talk about ahead of time, but it just came to my mind. You know, you were talking about this is the future of healthcare delivery. With the Affordable Care Act, before the Affordable Care Act, Parkland was delivering a lot of healthcare to people who had no insurance. More have insurance now, but are still going to Parkland, some. They can go to other hospitals, too, in some cases. Parkland itself has come out with a healthcare plan.
Mm-hmm.
Has all of that saved Parkland money, and or hasn't it been in place long enough, or don't you really know what the statistics are in this?
Well, you're talking about a lot of different pieces,
I know.
One thing. And, in fact, Parkland has set up some of its own coverage because it does prove to be more cost-effective to provide a certain amount of insurance for those who fall into certain groups that would not be covered by other means. But we're also talking, too, about what happens with the arrangements with all of healthcare providers in the area, which means other hospitals, private hospitals, nonprofit hospitals, clinics, and the formulas by which we all have to work together to provide health care to those people who do need it.
Mm-hmm.
The Affordable Care Act is up in its. I'm not sure that anybody could really say what's going to happen with that. And so that is an unknown as far as what's going to happen to Texas.
But over the last year or two, has it saved Parkland some money?
Because the number of people in Dallas County who are covered has increased.
Do we know how many more people are covered?
Off the top of my head,
no.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
I do not know.
Not even around. I'm not asking a specific, but not even around.
It seems like there's 20% increase in the number of people who were covered.
Well, that's a lot.
Which is significant,
yeah.
and is an assist. But healthcare is also it's a multi. There's federal funds and state funds, private, mm-hmm. nonprofit, just a lot of different things all coming together, and also looking at Medicaid expansion and what the state of Texas does with that, and then the impact that has on mm-hmm. The providing of healthcare. A lot going on.
Now, it's not that Parkland laid anybody off, but they're providing some services a lot more efficiently and not using people to do silly tasks. And here's one of the silly tasks I'm thinking of. And we talked about this before the show. This was one of my favorite things about the new Parkland. The laundry facility is in a different building. The pharmacy is in a different building. But everything has to get delivered from the main hospital to that building and back. So all the laundry, instead of having people just with laundry carts walking up and down the halls like they used to in those narrow halls in the old Parkland, there are laundry chutes now, and it seems like, oh, laundry chute, what's the big deal? In the middle of the building, so they collect the laundry, and they're placed throughout the floor. So you're not walking more than two or three rooms to get to where the laundry needs to be deposited, instead of these big laundry carts that were just in the way, and you have them trying to push patients down the hall and laundry carts in the way. So the laundry goes to a chute, but the chute doesn't just go down to the basement. It actually transports it to a different building. And I love that. I just love that. So you're not using people to do those kinds of silly things.
Except, I mean, the nursing staff and those people who collect the laundry are still then having to deposit it, and those who are cleaning the laundry.
But it's quicker.
It's quicker.
And they're not wasting as much time doing that kind of stuff.
Right, impeding what has to be done in the hospital itself.
It's brilliantly designed. You know, the other thing I love at Parkland, there was so much. I just love this hospital. At the end of my tour, I said, okay, this is a fantastic building. What didn't you get that was on the wish list? She said, we came in under budget and on time. She said, we got everything. But they were working with some computer companies that were doing some programming, that were experimenting with things, and Parkland got it basically free or at cost or whatever, certain things, so that they could develop these and sell them elsewhere. That saved a lot of money. And one of the things I'm thinking of is the TV that's in the room. It's a big screen TV that each room has. And the TV is not just to watch TV, but if your doctor wants to talk to you and he happens to be somewhere else, he can Skype in. Mm-hmm. If you call the nurse, the nurse is on your screen instead of just, right. She can actually see you and see what's going on in your room. Before you're discharged, the doctor can require you to watch certain videos, like if you had a heart attack, this is how you care for yourself, and they're available in 17 languages. There's just so much that the
use of technology is definitely a model also. Mm-hmm. One of the things, too, that having done a lot of research in my own background, what the capacity that Parkland has to, they've taken 20, 30 years of their data, put it in, and are using that as a predictor of how they can better provide service to the people who are in the hospital today. Mm-hmm. Because then they can say, well, so many people with Mrs. Smith's exact diagnosis, age, and characteristics had this kind of experience, so that we can anticipate that she's going to need these kinds of tests and be in the hospital for this length of time, and then have these needs once she gets out of the hospital, and using that information as a better predictor of knowing then what will be needed within this hospital during that stay, but then also what is going to make it a greater continuum of care when the patient leaves the hospital and what they're going to be needing afterwards. Mm-hmm. And using technology to provide a better service, essentially, is one of a forte of Parkland also. So I would just like to say, if you have not visited Parkland, go visit, give me a call, I'll help, whatever.
The building's gorgeous. The gardens outside are very calming. The views from the patient rooms, if you're in a room facing downtown, what a great view you get. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just everything about it that's just perfect. The other thing that I think they should have done one thing slightly different with DART. DART stops right outside the building. It should have gone right through the building. So that the Parkland station was inside Parkland, and you're nice and warm on a day like today, waiting for a train. And if you have an appointment at Parkland, you're right there. You're inside. I mean, it's not inconvenient. It's
okay,
just outside.
Maybe next time.
And I would have no problem building the next building right around the train station.
Okay. In the meantime, go visit. Because it's quite a pride of for Dallas County to have this facility to be able to provide this level of care.
It's literally, at the time that it opened, it was literally the most technologically advanced hospital in the country.
And it probably still is.
And probably still is. Other hospitals are buying some of the technology that was developed.
Right.
In conjunction with the development of Parkland, which is just great.
I mentioned that I visited New York City, and New York City has 11 public hospitals, and I visited one. In fact, that was built at about the same time as the old Parkland Hospital in 1956. Went on a tour and all this, and was very aware that they were also. While I'm looking at this hospital in New York City, that they were also quizzing me about Parkland and about the clinic and the jail, because these are two items that they were very envious of. And so some of the New York financial people then came down right afterwards to take their tour in Dallas County.
Oh, I'm sure we wowed them with it.
Yes,
which is great. I love to see that. Let's talk a little bit about the Sheriff's Department and what they do. Loopy was on our show a few months ago. She told us about how when she came into the department, everybody in the department was against her. And so she worked very hard, turned everybody gay. And, she was having quite a day that day. She told us a little bit about how she turned things around.
Well, I would like to say that when Lupe Valdez was elected sheriff, that it definitely brought a lot of attitudes that have improved the situation tremendously. We have now had our seventh straight positive compliance with state regulations, which was a huge, huge step, because it was absolutely every aspect of, once again, here we have today, we have 5,200 and some inmates in the county jail. And when you think of providing space, meals, laundry, health care, all of this that is mandated from the state to over 5,000 people every day, 7 days a week, that's quite a chore.
And the average Texas prison, which is a major operation, any city where they're in, that's the big industry in that town, has like 2,000 inmates, 1 to 2,000. Some might be bigger than
that.
Well,
I think part of that, there's a mixture of what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You said, state institutions are,
but I'm just
prisons
comparing.
Are different.
I'm just comparing.
Right.
You're taking care of over 5,000 people a day, and in the average prison, which is a major operation anywhere where there is one, 2,000, 1,000. So,
yeah, sad to say that. Yeah, the our jail is the second largest provider of mental health services in the state of Texas, only behind Harris County.
Their jail. One thing Loopy was talking about was how if people need mental health services, they probably don't belong in jail. They belong
exactly
in a facility that's giving them mental health care. Is there any talk about developing something like
that? Oh, absolutely. I spend a lot of time, in fact, looking at mental health in our jail and recognizing that it's better for the inmate, it's better for their families, it's better for taxpayers to address those kinds of issues in more appropriate settings. Mm-hmm. It's just more expensive in the jail. So we are working to evaluate how people get into the jail. what happens to them while they're there, and then what happens after they leave, in order to have better methods of, you know, obviously I know that people do something to get into jail. And for those people who are can do harm to themselves or to other people, then that may be the better place for them to be. Oftentimes that's not the situation, especially when there are other either mental health needs, substance abuse needs, or physical needs that are confounding a person's situations. So we're looking at, first of all, how do people get there? Are there alternative ways to do that? And I'm working very hard on putting together a respite center, which would be an alternative for if someone gets picked up, that a local police agency would have an alternative either to take them to jail or to take them to another place where they could get appropriate services.
We need to take a break. We're talking to District 1 Commissioner, I got it right, District 1 Commissioner Teresa Daniel. I'm Dave Taffet, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, I'm Nell Gaither, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3.
Welcome back to Lambda Weekly. That was an extremely short one. We were in the middle of talking, and it got us. I'm Dave Taffet here with District 1 Dallas County Commissioner Teresa Daniel. And we're just talking a little bit about what the county does, what the county doesn't do. We've talked about bike trails. That's my favorite that the county does, because that's just a nice thing. It's just an amenity that so many people use. I'm calling
just
it
an amenity. It's an important amenity and contributes to quality of life issues.
I'm not downplaying it. People, we started building bike trails not realizing how many people would use it. When the Katy Trail first opened, I used to ride my bike up and down. Within a year, I couldn't do that anymore. It was so crowded. People were commuting on the trail, and that's what I was doing, actually, using it to commute the last part by bike to my office, which was right half a block off of the trail. But people commute, people exercise. It's just, I'm saying just an amenity, but it's one that's brought life into the city, into a lot of parts of the city where there wasn't
before. It's an important component to quality of life.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about Parkland Hospital, and we're talking about the Sheriff's Department a little bit. We were talking a little bit before the break about how some people are just brought to jail because what else do you do with them? I know in Oak Lawn there's one homeless woman. People call her Mary. That's not actually her name, but she answers to it because people have been calling her that for 40 years. And she's lived on the streets, mostly on Cedar Springs, but also in the alleys behind and the streets off. Everybody knows Mary down in that area. And when she gets off her meds, she can get a little bit violent. The police know her, and it's, Mary, come with us. And they bring her usually to Parkland, get her meds okay. A year or so ago, it wasn't so okay, and she had to go away a little bit for longer. But that's one person that the police know because she's been on those streets for 40 years. There are lots of other homeless people down there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because that's part of what I call the system of mental health substance abuse. And it the first responders, that's either the police or firefighters, the training that they are now receiving so that they are better able to make a very quick assessment of, okay, what are better things that should be done? And you mentioned that in Mary's situation, that she's known so that...
The store owners know her. No, this is Mary. We have to take care of her.
People in the area understand that, okay, a quick trip to Parkland will readjust and get her back.
A few days.
To being where she needs to be. But then that's part of what I'm looking at. I co-chair the Behavioral Health Leadership Team, which is a mental health oversight group in Dallas County that brings together elected officials, providers of mental health and substance abuse programming. It brings together the first responders. the judges, the courts, to be all to be there and talking about the situations that make it difficult for mental health services to be provided mm-hmm. for our people. There are a lot of things going on in this area. One of the parts of what could be called like a continuum of care is that in Dallas County, we don't have, like at the front end of that continuum of care, or is a respite center, mm-hmm. so that a first responder would have an option of taking somebody to jail, taking them to Parkland, or taking them to a center that would have services where they can address some of those other items mm-hmm. to get them into the right areas, either for the mental health, the substance abuse, it may be housing, it may be just a short period of time to get things mm-hmm. readjusted for them.
They can even decide, you know what, this person's crime was violent and it's more than just a mental health issue, and the person
Absolutely.
Might need to go to jail.
Absolutely.
But isn't that a better way to evaluate the person?
But it allows you the options mm-hmm. to make the assessment that, no, this person could be of danger to mm-hmm. themselves or to others, and that's the proper place for them mm-hmm. to be. But it's also assessing that. Dallas County is working with both the Meadows Foundation and with the Carruth's Smart Justice to really pull apart then what happens within from the time of a bookend to the time a person is released from jail mm-hmm. so that first of all we can look at the efficiencies of if a person's only supposed to be someplace and you've got 48 hours to do it, that in fact that happens within the 48 hours mm-hmm. so that they don't linger there past that time period, and just keeping on top of that. So once again, using technology and data, we're making those evaluations right now in order to get people who are booked in more quickly into the areas that that is best suited to why they're there mm-hmm. and what's going to either get them through their case or address some of the other issues that are impacting their case. Hmm. Dallas County was one of the first in Texas to really use a lot of diversion courts also, so that we can kind of pull apart crime mm-hmm. and address the differences in crime through the special diversion courts. So there's a lot going on in this particular area, and I'm very proud to say Dallas County is in the forefront of looking at what are other places doing, what do we have already in place, where are the voids, and what do we need to be working on.
Have other counties around the country done something like this?
They have. And they're doing bits and pieces of it, and the mm-hmm. point is at this point in history is to bring it together in a whole package. Miami-Dade has they started working on the courts and the jails working together very mm-hmm. closely on a criminal justice system. Bexar County, San Antonio, has a Haven for Hope, which is a respite center. But we're all working at, okay, how can we do probation better? How, you know, what are all the factors that go into this from book in until release that can be done better?
First of all, you know why Dallas is doing this? You're a bunch of liberals. Wouldn't happen in certain places in Texas. How many beds will there be?
What do you mean?
Well, how many places will there be for people to come into this program, into the respite center?
Well, we're looking at it from a lot of different uh-huh. views. We're now looking at our third kind of larger facility, which it ideally would have, I don't know, 75, 150. Depends on what facility we're looking at. We're also seeing how we can use more efficiently the beds that we do have. Mm-hmm. And through communication, through technology, once again, of being aware of where there might be a dozen beds beds on, you know, Friday night. And, you know, if a family comes in, that means we only have 9 left of those dozen for the next people who would come in. So that's having a directory that's more on top of services available and description of services so that we can better match up
needs. So part of this is just matching up what we already have.
So part of it is creating more beds. Part of it is using current beds more efficiently and effectively. A third part is matching up, because chances are better that it's not only a bed that many of the people who I would come in contact with would need. It's a three-legged stool. They need a place to be. They need services, and chances are good that they need a case manager to help them get through the system. Mm-hmm. So putting together those packages so that the match is better made is also what we're working on.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about, we have some horrible bills that have already been filed in Austin. One of the goals is to take away local authority. You think of that as being just mostly the city, but it also affects the county.
Absolutely.
In other words, laws that we passed here in Dallas that are non-discrimination laws, there's a bill, or 4 or 5, that is trying to invalidate that by saying that you can only protect the classes that are protected on the federal level. Now, we know Republicans believe in local control, so couldn't be them doing this.
Where do we stand on some of these?
Yeah, where do we stand on these, and what do we do about them?
I'm also a big believer in that each of those 254 counties is part of the state. Mm-hmm. And so watching and being very aware of the legislature and how we interact with the legislature is very important to me. Because it's funding and it's laws and it's what we can do and it's what we cannot do that impact that. You've already mentioned a lot of the details of laws on local thought and local what local elected officials feel is better for their community. Mm-hmm. The state is also looking at limiting our ability to, for example, collect taxes in order to pay for what, in our best estimation, is better for our people. Mm-hmm. So there is going to be quite a
one of those things. We collect taxes for is Parkland. Dallas County has decided we want to make sure that people get health care. And this has been a Dallas County policy. Old Parkland was built in 1890-something.
The first was 1892,
yeah.
The old Parkland.
So we're talking about Dallas has had this commitment. That's our tradition here.
Mm-hmm.
There are counties with 100 or 200 people out in West Texas. The state of Texas, how can they know with one law what's best for that county, and why would they think what's best for Loving County out in West Texas is what's good for Dallas County here? Doesn't it make sense on some of these things for us to decide what's best, and we do it on a local level?
Well, and then the second part of that is how you do business makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And that's where we really get into our thought of what is a family, our thought of provision of services and what's a basic level of services for all of our people, and a lot of those attitudes of, for example, I also feel very strongly that the voice of the whole community is important, mm-hmm. so that you allow access for people in a lot of different ways, mm-hmm. And that means everybody. Discrimination anywhere is wrong.
Of course it is. And yet we're still not telling those small counties or other counties that don't want it that they have to do this. We're just saying, no, when you're here in Dallas, this is how we do it. You do it a little bit differently, fine.
But I want that option. I want, as a local elected official,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Want to be able to
We've passed certain laws here.
Yes.
And we have policies.
County. It's a little different. Right.
It is a little bit different, but still we have different things here in Dallas. We're not telling anybody else to do it. Now, one thing that I love is that Rafael Enchia, who's state representative, represents Oak Cliff, Oak Lawn. He introduced a bill that would allow Dallas County specifically to opt out of open carry. Now, I get people want open carry in other places. Dallas has overwhelmingly spoken with the number of signs that have gone up on businesses that were not really interested in it. And in fact, the day that open carry started, the 911 office here in Dallas was bracing and they were staffed waiting for an onslaught of calls from people saying, there is someone here in Kroger with a gun. They didn't get a single call. And the reason they didn't is because people in Dallas are not open carrying. And it's not that they haven't, not that there isn't any. It's that in general, we're not open carrying here much.
Well, there's the continued discussion because there are some people who have filed grievances against Dallas County buildings mm-hmm. and the signs that we have and wanting to get more definition into how Dallas County can post signs. Mm-hmm. So there is a continuing discussion. I'll grant you that much.
Rafael wants to just let Dallas County or City of Dallas just say, not us. So
I think there are definitely...
It's not going to pass.
Many places where carrying a gun seems inappropriate. Healthcare, courthouses, there's no place.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
It's just not a place to have.
Because some courts, there are probate courts, and what other courts are county?
We've got the civil courts, the criminal courts,
yeah.
Family courts, juvenile courts, probate courts.
Okay, so you're
JP
fighting
courts.
Over custody, and they want to argue that a gun should be able to go in.
Sometimes there are topics that are highly emotional and probably guns should not be there.
Should not be there. We only have a couple more minutes. We have a new district attorney.
That's right.
Now, any other resignation from a county position, the county commissioners would have appointed the new person in that position, like a new county clerk, a new district clerk, but not for district attorney. That the governor does.
Well, it depends on the statute. It depends on the position. Depends on whether they are considered county elected official or county employees or state elected official or state employees. The district attorney, you're right, due to the timing of it, was given to the governor, and he is taken upon to appoint Faith Johnson, mm-hmm. who I will have the pleasure of meeting with tomorrow, in fact, to sit down and talk about, okay, you know, mm-hmm. what do you see for the DA's office, and what are some of the projects, for example. I talked about the Smart Justice and the Meadow Foundation's work that we're doing and how that impacts the DA's office to see how we can work together for the betterment of Dallas County.
Good choice, you think? Good replacement for...
I've had the chance to talk with her a couple of different times. And from her just talking with a lot of other people, there are a lot of people who have a lot of respect for her.
Okay.
Some people have questions about what's going to happen if such and such. So, no, the point is let's talk about it mm-hmm. and see how we can work together.
And just one quickie. Before we go, John Wiley Price, we know his trial is coming up February?
In February, yes.
But he's just at work. He was just reelected. He's at work, and you're all just doing...
Well, as far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. that's the trial is on someone else's plate. Mm-hmm. And
it's a federal trial.
It
has nothing to do with anything local.
With me, to us. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree. We co-chair the Behavioral Health Leadership Team. There's a lot of work that's yet to be done. There are a few people who know more about Dallas County than Commissioner Price, so we're just going to continue to work and do our best.
I'll say this for him. I don't know what he did. I have not seen the charges. I certainly don't know the evidence, but I know we wouldn't have aid services in this county if it wasn't for him, because he fought tooth and nail for those and has been the expert on them, especially at Parkland. So And I wish him luck.
We always can end on what I consider some of my famous words, which is, we're not done yet.
Yeah. So, Teresa, I want to thank you very much for being here. And doing the show Just Us. I think this is the first time I've been one-on-one.
Well, yeah. Thank you very much for the invitation. I really do appreciate the chance to talk about Dallas County, because there is a lot
of confusion.
Most people don't have much of a concept. So I really do enjoy, and we'll talk to any group about things that they see of concern or just answering questions. So thank you very much for what you do and for inviting me
on
the show.
Thank you for coming.
Appreciate it.
And we'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly. Your assistant, Erin, is going to be on the show with us next week. Have a good week. And I guess next Sunday is Christmas, so have a Merry Christmas.
That's right.